For the past couple of days now, we've been talking about the Apostle Peter here in John chapter 21, the last chapter in the Gospel of John, and how Jesus dealt with Peter on this occasion, causing him to make confession of his love for the Lord Jesus Christ three times, in line with the fact that he had denied the Lord three times in the house of Caiaphas. And then we dealt with the fact that "Lovest thou me more than these?" could have meant several things, and perhaps even all of the things that we talked about. More than the boats and nets? Do you love Jesus more than you love your car? Do you love Jesus more than you love your house? Do you love Jesus more than you love your boats, your campers, your motorcycles? Do you love Jesus more than you do your four-wheelers? Do you love Jesus more than your entertainment on the weekend? And then it could mean, do you love Jesus more than these others, more than you love these people, these friends of yours? I wonder if you love Jesus more than you love the friends that you're with. Do you love Jesus more than being with him? You'd rather be with him than to be in the house of the Lord. And of course, the other is, do you love me in a greater way than these other disciples love me? Are you haughty? Are you humble, though, and love Jesus just simply through love for him? Or do you think that you are so pious that you love Jesus more than anybody else loves him, and that always creates for a bad situation? Now, I want to move on to the fact that here in the next first few verses, verse 19, for instance, "This spake he," and I'm going back to verse 18, but he said, "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me." Now, that was to Peter. So the first thing he said to Peter 3 years before, or approximately 3 years before, was, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, here he finishes after Peter backslides, gets back right with God, makes public confession. Then he's in a position to where he was in the beginning, "Follow me." He was in a full restored position to do the work of the Lord. Now let's go back to verse 18. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and shall carry thee whither thou wouldest not." Peter, you have surrendered to me. You're not your own, and you're going to find persecution. You're going to find your arrest and being in the hands of the enemy. And eventually we understand that Peter was hung upside down for his testimony, crucified upside down. Now, that's all history. That's not in the Bible. But at least they say, and history says, that he refused to be crucified as Jesus was, and so they crucified him upside down. At any rate, he certainly suffered a martyr's death, and that's what Jesus is saying right here. You're going to be in the hands of the enemy. It's not going to be a bed of roses. It's not going to be an easy path for you, Peter. You've surrendered to me now. You said you loved me. You said you are ready to feed my sheep. And I want to warn you, when you do, that you're not going to have an easy life. It's going to be hard, and it's going to end with your life being taken by the enemy. "And this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God." And that's interesting. His death glorified God. He was martyred. He was killed for his testimony. Peter was. And it glorified God. Frankly, the church is always strongest when it's under persecution. The church glorifies God more when it's under persecution than in any other time in the history of the church. Right now, the church, the true church, the fundamental church, is not under the persecution that churches prior to our age have been. Therefore, we are not as strong as churches have been in the past. And I believe it's entirely possible that there could be even more persecution than we're receiving now on the church, on the true body of born-again believers, and on the local churches that take a stand for Christ and a stand for the Bible. We're going to find a time, if Jesus does not come soon, we're going to find a time whenever we will suffer more and be better purified to be the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's finish up the book today and the chapter with the rest of these verses. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Now that's identification of who this is writing the book and who this is Peter was talking about. Peter turned about and he saw the other disciple, that's John, the one who wrote this book, whom Jesus loved following. And to make sure that you understand which John it is, it's that one that leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? That was the apostle John. Then Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Now Peter had been told that he was going to die. He's going to suffer. It's going to be a hard life. You're not going to be able to do what you want to do and go where you want to go. It's going to be hard for you, and then you're going to die as a result of your stand for me. That's what Jesus was telling him. Now, I think Peter understood that, and he looked at John and said, what you going to do with him? What's going to happen to him? Then Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Well, we do know that the Apostle John was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. He was persecuted and he was mistreated. We know that. But Jesus did not tell John what was going to happen to him. He said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now, the lesson here is, and we must get it very strongly, the lesson here is that we are not responsible for what other Christians do and how God leads them and whether they suffer or not or whether they are blessed or not. We are to take care of our own relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to sell out to him, dedicate ourselves to him, and not be concerned with what God allows other Christians to do or what God allows other Christians to have. And then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. They picked up on that and said that Jesus was saying that he wouldn't die. Yet Jesus said unto him, he shall not die, but if I will tarry, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifies of these things. So this is John writing this book and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. So you can count then on this entire gospel being from God and being true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself should not contain the books that should be written. So everything, of course, is not written and given to us here in the Bible. If everything that Jesus did and said, the world could not contain the books. Somebody said, well, that's a stupid statement. This is a big world. Well, my dear friend, Jesus is from everlasting to everlasting. And there's no beginning and no ending. So certainly there would be no end to the books that could be written about what the Lord Jesus Christ did. But I'm so thankful today that I found him as my Savior and as my Lord. And the book that we've just completed now, the Gospel of John, is the book that will tell you how to be saved. I have been so happy to be able to bring to you these messages from the book of John. I hope they have been a blessing, and I hope the Spirit of God will use them in your life. And I particularly hope that if you have not yet trusted him as your Savior, you will do so. If you need further help, please write and ask for it. We are more than willing to help you find the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior.